We've gotten pretty good at shorthand in our culture. You can start an argument with just three letters these days. For example, GMO. Another example from our region, LNG. The plan for a liquefied natural gas LNG export terminal near North Bend on the Oregon coast has many people concerned, not just about the terminal itself, but the 230-mile pipeline proposed to run to it, slanting across southwest Oregon from the Klamath Basin to the plant. There's a recent short documentary film about the pipeline plan. From the documentary title, you get the diameter of the pipeline, 36 inches. James Parker is the director of this short film. He's on the phone with us. Welcome, James.
Thanks so much for having me.
We have a couple of guests with us as well who are LNG opponents. Deb Evans is an LNG opponent in Ashland here in the studio with me. Welcome, Deb.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Good to have you here. And Mary Gedry is an LNG opponent who lives close to the actual plant proposed site in Coos Bay. Mary, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having me.
So, James, let's start with you. And what got you motivated to do this?
For me, it was really a call to action from Deb and Ron, who are, you know, impacted landowners of the Pacific Connector Pipeline. And literally, it was a phone call one day saying, you know, we've sort of discovered that we're impacted by this pipeline. We're starting to engage with the issue. We find it to be a pretty compelling issue, and we'd like to continue the conversation through a film. And so, you know, I'm an outsider. I don't live in Oregon. I wasn't aware of the Jordan Cove project up until a couple months ago when that phone call came in. And, you know, we decided that we were going to, embark on this process of making a film, that it was going to be, you know, sort of a common sense approach to this issue. It's from, you know, my perspective, which is, you know, that of an outsider and that of someone who doesn't typically engage with this type of issue. So, you know, we kind of took a common sense approach. We started by looking at the basics. We went into the economic issues, the land rights issues, the environmental issues. And through the end of that process, you know, came to some conclusions. And for me, and in my opinion, you know, the Jordan Cove project is not in the public benefit of Oregon. It doesn't seem to be in the public benefit of the country. And in a lot of ways, it represents, you know, injustices towards American citizens.
What kinds of films have you worked on previously, James?
I've worked on a number of short documentaries on issues that, you know, a large range of issues. And I also work as a camera operator and sometimes as a director of photography on television shows. But, you know, documentary is definitely the root of my passion.
Let's hear a little clip from just one little section of 36 inches. This is what we call clip two. It's you're going to hear some pipeline proponents followed by a response from James.
As of 2013, there were 487,286 natural gas wells in the U.S., which is one for every 6.5 square miles of the lower 48. The price for 1,000 cubic feet of natural gas in the U.S. is around $2.80. The price for 1,000 cubic feet of natural gas in Asia is over 12. So it's clear why the industry is pushing towards export and an equalization in price. But what about the economic downsides for the U.S.? The side effects of LNG export, as documented by the U.S. Energy Information Administration, could increase domestic gas prices anywhere from 10% to upwards of 20%. So opposition to export isn't just coming from the obvious sources like environmentalists and the far left, but major U.S. industry like Dow Chemical and Alcoa. In a company statement addressing Jordan Cove, Dow said U.S. manufacturers are putting Americans back to work and creating high-paying jobs due to this new abundance of affordable natural gas. This is vastly preferable to sending our energy resources overseas and jobs overseas. It's also worth noting the majority stakeholder in the Jordan Cove Energy Project is a company called Veresen, which is Canadian. So a Canadian company, which no doubt will make significant profits and benefit its shareholders, is exporting U.S. gas, potentially raising U.S. gas prices, and doing so under the umbrella of eminent domain.
That James Parker from 36 Inches, his short documentary on the proposal for the Jordan Cove plant, the liquefied natural gas plant on Coos Bay at North Bend, and the 230-mile pipeline to it. That's you have to talk fairly fast to get information. How'd you cram as much as you could into 7 minutes of film here, James?
Definitely was a challenge, but you know, a big thing for us was being specific in the audience which we were targeting, and that was sort of a millennial audience and an audience which doesn't typically engage in this type of issue. So we wanted it to be fast-paced. We wanted it to be a little bit challenging to watch and to engage with. And, you know, there's so much that this project encompasses. It's representative of so much. And we wanted to be thorough in our examination of the pros and the cons, because a lot of times when, you know, this issue is talked about, it's sort of the key bullet point talking points, and you really have to sort of widen the gaze, and you have to be thorough when you examine the facts surrounding this project.
James Parker is the director of the short documentary film 36 Inches about the pipeline and the Jordan Cove project. Deb Evans is an LNG opponent from Ashland. Mary Guedry, an LNG opponent from Coos Bay. Deb's in the studio with me. The other two are on the line. You can join the discussion on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org. James alluded to issues that you and your husband have had, Deb, with your own land and the LNG pipeline. Tell us about that.
Exactly. Well, so we are impacted landowners. We bought a piece of property up near Lake of the Woods on Clover Creek Road, which is in Klamath County. And that property, it's a plantation property. It's timber, sits between two old-growth forests in Wainema National Forest, and is about a mile from the Mountain Lakes Wilderness area. And so we've about 6 months after we bought the property is when we first learned that there was going to be a potential pipeline going through the property that they wanted to put through, and it was for an import facility out of Coos Bay. And those who know the story know that that all went away when fracking came in this country, and we started producing our own natural gas. And so the next thing that we knew, it flipped, and it became an application for an exported terminal. And both we are opposed to. And, you know, so what's happening?
You don't care which direction the gas is moving.
We don't really care which way the gas is moving. But, you know, we have real issues with it being exported in particular. And that comes from around, you know, energy independence. We feel like everything that we've heard over the last, you know, probably 10, 20 years, 30 years maybe even, is about how U.S. needs to be energy independent. And so knowing that and then having all of a sudden this situation where a private corporation is wanting to build a pipeline to export energy is one of the issues, one of many issues we have.
Now, Mary Guedry, you live in Coos Bay, so not far from where the Jordan Cove plant is proposed to be built, pipeline to it, obviously. Tell us about your story and your own particular personal interest in this.
Well, it's Guedry, by the way, a soft G. But my personal story is, you know, my son went to war in Iraq. He was a Marine infantry corporal. And you know, I just find it kind of ironic, number one, that he went to war, in my opinion, for energy, and now all of a sudden a Canadian firm is planning on exporting our finite natural resources to Asia. And, of course, I see it from the economic standpoint because we're told locally, because we're economically depressed and we qualify for all these new market tax credits and all these other, you know, wonderful things for corporations, that this will be a job producer. And I think you only have to look at communities like Port Arthur, Texas, to see the folly of putting all your eggs in the oil and gas basket. As dire as things are in Coos County, you know, unemployment, poverty, crime, everything, health is even worse down there, and they've got four refineries and a couple of LNG export terminals. So, you know, we have a beautiful area here, and there's no reason to create another Port Arthur, Texas.
Your approach in talking about your own son, and I noticed a couple of ads that you had run in the Coos Bay area as well that make references to veterans. This is an angle we hadn't seen before on the LNG proposal, which is to talk, have the people from the military talk about their own impressions of this.
Well, I think it's important to bring out what a group of us are doing here is rather than focus on influencing the decision makers, which is what most activism is about. We're working on something that's called community rights, and there's been about 200 local ordinances passed across the country that says that we're the decision makers. This is our community. It should be our decision because we have to live with the consequences. So we've filed an initiative that asserts our right to local self-government, and there's also a statewide initiative that's filed, which will amend the Oregon Constitution to confirm our right to local self-government and the right to be the decision makers. And so rallying the troops, so to speak, because we're really just trying to democratize the system, and because the process right now is very undemocratic. And by rallying veterans, who many of whom still believe in democracy, you know, we have to change the system that exists, because in the 40-odd years that the Environmental Protection Agency has been around and that we've had NEPA, the National Environmental Protection or
Policy Act,
mm-hmm. Policy Act, the environment has gotten worse. 40% of our waterways don't even meet minimum standards. You know, we're doing something wrong. So the system has to change, and so we're trying to change it at the local level and work our way up.
Mary Jettery is one of our guests on the Jefferson Exchange on the line from Coos Bay. She is an opponent of the plan for the LNG plant and pipeline on North Bend, at North Bend on Coos Bay. Deb Evans is another LNG opponent in the studio with me in Ashland. James Parker is the director of a short film called 36 Inches. That is indicative of the size of the pipeline in diameter, 230 miles, its length stretching from the Klamath Basin to North Bend if it is built. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760. Anywhere in the listening area, 800-838-3760, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So, James Parker, coming from outside the region, I mean, how do you synthesize all of this stuff? I mean, it's something we've been talking about full time for years now, and we're discovering new facets all the time, and you're coming from the outside trying to pull it all together into a short documentary.
Yeah, you know, it definitely was very challenging, you know, for that reason you pointed out, being an outsider. Also challenging because, you know, I typically don't really engage in issues like this, massively complex energy projects. And frankly, I'm typically pretty overwhelmed by them and intimidated by them. And so that was really kind of central to my process with the film, was being honest about that, was being kind of vulnerable about that, and just, you know, sort of taking the time and doing the due diligence. And you know, literally the process started by doing some internet searches, and, you know, you sort of come up first with information from, you know, the stakeholders, the companies involved. You come to Boost Southwest Oregon's website, and then you start to come across some, you know, opposing viewpoints, and it all gets really confusing really fast. And I think it's totally fine to be honest about that. And then you kind of, you know, break it down and start digging a little deeper. And so that was the approach. You know, we broke it down into three main sections: the economics, of course, you know, jobs and economic stimulus is part of the foundation of the support for the pipeline. So we started by understanding that, and then we got into, you know, land rights and, you know, in my opinion, the injustices which are, you know, are happening sort of within that arena with eminent domain and, you know, 300 property owners who are having, you know, private land seized. You know, for this export project, which is primarily profiting a Canadian company, and then into the environmental issues, which are, you know, significant. You have the South Dunes Power Plant, which is, you know, in 2020, if the Boardman Coal Plant shuts down, which is on track to do, you know, that plant will become the most emitting plant in the state of Oregon. So there are a lot of sort of facts to grasp onto, and you're totally right. It can get very confusing and overwhelming quickly, but you know, I think my takeaway from this whole process is that it's just critical that we engage with these issues, no matter who we are. You know, if we're a young millennial who feels apathetic living in Southern California, it's important to engage in this issue in Oregon because, you know, there are consequences which are going to affect everyone in this country. Of course, the brunt of the consequences are going to be, you know, towards those landowners in Southern Oregon and residents in Southern Oregon. But, you know, this no doubt is a national issue.
Okay, so land rights and eminent domain mentioned a couple of times now. And Deb Evans, this would seem to most closely affect you as a landowner who's apparently sitting right in the path of the pipeline.
Yep, that's for sure.
What discussions have there been thus far with its Williams is the company that actually built the pipeline, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what discussions have you had with Williams Inc. so far?
So they've contacted us. We have not given them permission to come onto our property. They wanted permission to come on and survey, and we said, no, we're not interested in the pipeline. They made us one offer for our property. It goes through about almost half a mile. It's going to be a right-of-way that's 95 feet, and they offered us $2,000 for that.
As a permanent easement, you can't do anything on there.
As a permanent easement, they would cut the 95-foot wide swath of trees. They would maintain 50 of that permanently without trees. We just thought it was a joke. But, you know, I will echo another landowner who said to me, you know, and we feel the same way, that, you know, there's really no amount of money that we would take. It's really not about the money. It's about the type of project this is, the consequences that it will rake on, as James says, on the state of Oregon, on the citizens. And really, in this day of climate change and the movement toward alternative energy and away from fossil fuel energy for climate change reasons, we feel really strongly that locking ourselves into 20 or 30 or 50 years of a pipeline infrastructure that, you know, those companies, that company and the companies involved would take that, you know, take the money for that amount of time and make it much more difficult for us to switch to alternative energy. And we just think that that's the wrong approach.
We're talking about the Jordan Cove Liquefied Natural Gas Terminal Plan for North Bend with Deb Evans and Mary Guedry. Opponents, James Parker is the director of a film called 36 Inches about the pipeline itself, which would go to it. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the LNG plan. 800-838-3760 by phone around the region, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Mary Guedry, since you're the closest person to the actual plant, and of course it seems like the closer you get to a place that would stand to gain the most economically, the feelings are probably the strongest in favor of it there. Tell us about the situation with local officials in particular and their embrace of the Jordan Cove plan and pipeline.
Well, I definitely think that the local elected officials and the sort of power elite in the county are behind it. They support it. Anecdotally, what we've discovered is we're out collecting signatures for our initiative to put it on the ballot. We've noticed that as we're collecting signatures in North Bend, which is just right across the bay from this, we have about 70% of the people who we, you know, encounter are opposed to the project. They don't want it. As we get a little further away towards Coos Bay, which is, you know, like 4 or 5 miles, but no longer in view of it, I'd say that the opposition drops a little bit, but we're still around 60 to 65% opposed. And when we go out along the pipeline route, everybody's opposed. Nobody wants that pipeline in their backyard. But the company itself, you know, it's running the traditional development PSYOPs campaign, and it's enlisted the aid of the Chamber of Commerce, and so they've funded an AstroTurf organization called Boost Southwest Oregon, and
AstroTurf is in fake grassroots, yeah, for the folks that are under the expression,
initially gave them $15,000. They contributed $15,000 to another nonprofit that's being shown. The way it's working, actually, in Coos County, they've come up with the local leaders have come up with a community enhancement plan, which actually strips the tax benefits away from the county by funneling it into private nonprofits. And, you know, obviously headed by a select group of people that you have to be somewhat of standing to be even considered to be on the board of this organization. So they're looking at, you know, putting $20 million a year, assuming Jordan Cove was built and paying taxes, into these private foundations. So actually, Coos County won't even benefit really from the tax. They want to use that money to speculate on further development, ostensibly to build up our tax base, and then, of course, they'll probably put that tax base into this. So we'll never get the taxes.
All right, so taxes not directly to the local entities, but into a fund that would help boost further economic development is the plan.
Yes.
Okay. We have some calls here. Let's go to Julie in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Mary Jedry, Deb Evans, and James Parker.
Hi, thank you so much. I would like to emphasize the importance of participating in community rights, which is basically an educating group of people who are learning democratic skills so that we can be more effective at writing our own laws and at self-governing, which is what we're supposed to be doing. And we've lost touch with that. It's really, there are groups around. There's one in Ashland just starting. These groups are starting up everywhere, and it is where our power is to govern from the bottom up. And so,
All right, thanks.
I also want to recommend one quick thing, to be careful about vaccinations and be careful about marijuana, because we need to stay alert and keep our minds clear.
All right, thanks.
And learn. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. Appreciate that. So, Mary, I want to come back to you then, because you mentioned this community rights initiative. How would that be expressed in law? I mean, would it say that everything has to go to a vote if there's a major economic development move or something along those lines?
No, actually, the way it works is we establish a Bill of Rights. Everything right now is run through the regulatory agencies, and as you probably can perceive, that when you regulate something, you you don't say no to it. You just, you know, restrict how much fumes can be thrown into the air, how much you know sewage sludge can be placed over the ground. It's never about saying no to something. So for communities that want to be self-determining and decide what kind of future they want, like a sustainable future, we are establishing a Bill of Rights that says, among, you know, basically, that we have an inalienable right to clean air, clean water, not to be trespassed on by toxic chemicals.
Okay, so general statement of rights. Let me come back to this in just a moment. We need to take a short break. We'll come back and finish up with the folks talking about the LNG pipeline in opposition and the documentary film 36 Inches. Back on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute five. . 8:36 on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're going to finish up our discussion now about the Jordan Cove liquefied natural gas terminal planned for North Bend on the Oregon coast and the 230-mile pipeline running to it, 36 inches in diameter, 36 inches also the title of a new short documentary film made by James Parker. He joins us by phone. Deb Evans is an LNG opponent who joins me in the studio, and Mary Jedry is an LNG opponent in Coos Bay. You can join us at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Let's take another call from Will in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Yes, this 3-foot diameter pipeline, the normal pipeline size is 8 inches, and it is under 1,420 pounds per square inch pressure, and all of these pipelines at one time or another leak, and this 95-foot swath of land is going to take out through 80 acres or 80 miles of BLM land, old growth forest also, and the terminal they're building at Coos Bay is right back in the middle of a tsunami zone, and we're overdue for an earthquake. And the jobs that are going to be created, there will be jobs during the construction, but after the whole thing is completed, there'll only be something like, I don't know, I've heard 7 or 27 jobs. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And they're using a foreign company using eminent domain, which is supposed to be for the good of the United States citizens.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It's totally not.
All right, Will, thanks for that. Appreciate it. Deb Evans, how interested do you think you'd be in this if it wasn't a case of land that you own being in the way of it?
I think I would still be really interested in it, actually. From the moment I heard about it, I mean, obviously I heard about it first as a landowner, but I think what really struck me is we went in December to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission meeting, and, you know, it wasn't just landowners there. There were over 300 people there in Medford, and it was amazing how it has hit a chord with a number of people. The DEQ meeting in January was the same thing. There were almost 400 people at the DEQ meeting. They've never seen anything like that, right? So I think what this pipeline has done is it's hit a nerve in people who are looking at clean air, clean water, resources, the things that we love about Oregon, the reason we live here. And they're saying, why are we degrading? Why are we even allowing this kind of risk to come into our community, this kind of degradation, both to landowners, but also really to the backyard of all of us, right? So it's not just that I'm a landowner, but, you know, we're appealing right now to the governor and to different agencies, Department of State Lands and others, and encouraging people to write those decision makers and really tell them how you feel about this project. We're bitterly disappointed that our U.S. Senators Wyden and Merkley are apparently in favor of this project. They've been
apparently, but not clearly.
Well, no, they have stated in town halls that they are for it. They also have in emails, you know, been vehemently against Keystone XL. Some of us think that this is our very own Keystone XL because it would be the first and only LNG terminal on the West Coast. So Oregon has been targeted as, you know, front and center of taking the brunt of trying to get fracked gas out of the Canadian and the U.S. Rockies. And we feel like once you open that floodgate, when is it ever going to stop? And the people in Colorado and in those northern Rockies communities will suffer from the whole industry of fracked gas as well. So there's a number of reasons to be concerned about it.
James Parker, what's the plan for the distribution of the documentary 36 Inches?
You know, at this point, we're just trying to continue the conversation in any way we can. We're trying to make it as available as possible to any groups, you know, who are sort of facilitating conversations about the pipeline. The ultimate goal is to, you know, to spark some kind of national conversation about this project, and hopefully the film can contribute in some way to doing that. But yeah, I think for us to do that, you know, we're going to sort of need some sort of influencer to, you know, to get behind the film, to get behind the project.
You don't live in the region. You made that clear. You came in from outside. Were you hired by the LNG opponents?
I was hired. The film was commissioned, and, you know, totally comfortable being transparent about that. But, you know, I was kind of very clear, you know, before kind of accepting the project, that it was important that I was able to be honest in my process of discovery. You know, I didn't know anything about the Jordan Cove project when, you know, I got that initial phone call. I, you know, honestly didn't have opinions about it because I had no information about it. So this film was, you know, it was a genuine sort of investigation into this pipeline, and you know, the conclusions that I made at the end of the process were the conclusions that you know, sort of came to organically through this process.
And so where can people see it? Is it available all of it online now?
It is all online. 36inchesmovie.com is probably the easiest place to find it. You can also find it on YouTube, but on the website, you know, we have the mini documentary, which is just under 7 minutes, but we also have a collection of testimonies which we collected along sort of the route of the pipeline, and that is a collection of landowners' testimony. It's a collection of, you know, we have a retired fire chief, we have a medical doctor, we have a number of residents from Coos County. So that's a really interesting place to sort of find some perspectives that you might not hear, you know, sort of, I guess, in the mainstream. You know, you're not going to see that playing on a television ad. You're sort of getting a lot of the other perspective in those avenues.
All right. And I want to thank you all for joining us today. It's 36inchesmovie.com. James Parker directed the film. Deb Evans and Mary Gedry are LNG opponents. Mary from Coos Bay and Deb from, what would you say, Ashland or Jackson County or Klamath County?
Ashland and property in Klamath County.
Okay, all kinds of stuff. So we have a lot more to come, obviously, on the Jordan Cove project and the pipeline, and we'll be keeping you abreast of what goes on here on the Jefferson Exchange. Thanks again to our guests for joining us, and now here's Garrison Keillor.